financial advisors planning for life. Wealthway Financial Advisors planning for life.
And good evening, Hampton Roads. Welcome to another edition of Dollars and Common Sense, your local source for objective, unbiased financial advice. I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Kevin Zivna, coming to you live like we do every second and fourth Tuesday of the month to dialogue with you, take your calls. If you have a question or comment relating to your personal financial situation, then I'd love to hear from you. All we need is your first name, city you're calling from, and no matter what I'm talking about, if it's important to you, then it's important to me. We'll get you right on air. 627-7979. Don't forget that area code, 757-627-7979. Wealthway Financial Advisors is the proud sponsor of Dollars and Common Sense. We are an independent registered investment advisor, which means we're legally held to a fiduciary standard to put our clients' interest ahead of our own in any business dealing or recommendation that we make, and that's how it should be when you work with a financial advisor. As the premier financial planning firm in Hampton Roads, we integrate expert investment management with customized ongoing financial planning advice to help our clients answer life's big financial questions and enhance their quality of life. So by design, we can't work with everyone. We work with a relatively small group of high net worth individuals, but that's one of the reasons we feel so strongly about coming here every second and fourth Tuesday at 6 p.m., and that's to reach out and help as many people in the Hampton Roads listening area that we can achieve your measure of financial success, because it is a core belief at Wealthway Advisors that the overwhelming majority of people in this country have the opportunity for financial security if they choose it. And it is a choice, because it takes some time, it takes some effort, and it takes some knowledge. We are here to help. You got to take that first step, though. Pick up the phone. Give me a call, 627-7979. Whether you want to talk about anything having to do with the investment markets, the economy, insurance products like life insurance, health insurance, property casualty, taxes, tax planning, tax reduction strategies. Got a few more days before your tax filing deadline coming up here soon on April 15th. Retirement planning, retirement plans, 401ks, 403bs, TSBs, 457s, Roth IRAs, traditional IRAs, mortgage options, Social Security claiming strategies, or estate planning, wills and trusts. All that and more falls under the umbrella of personal finance, and we are here to discuss tonight. 627-7979. All right, and right out of the gate, we got our first caller on the line. So we're going to go out to Chesapeake and speak with Ashley. Good evening, Ashley. You're on Dollars and Common Sense.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing, Ashley?
I'm doing good. My husband and I, he's close to retirement age, not quite, and he inherited some money from his father, and we're not quite sure the best way to use it. You know, we were thinking of investing in real estate. He's never been a real risky investor. He's been more on the conservative side. So we're just not sure. We have talked to a few financial planners, and it seemed they wanted to sell us annuities and things that we just weren't, I guess, educated enough on. So just really not sure really how to proceed, you know, especially with him being close to retirement age.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how old is your husband?
He's 62.
Okay. All right. Well, let me give you some parameters here and some thoughts and ideas. So first off, whenever you get sort of a unexpected windfall of cash like that, make sure to take care of the financial fundamentals of your own financial house first. So what that means is clean up any bad debt, credit card debt, high interest personal loans. Maybe you have a home equity line of credit out there, which those rates have crept up with lending rates going up in response to inflation. So you might want to try to pare that down. And then also make sure that you have a solid emergency fund. Emergency fund defined as 3 to 6 months of household expenses set aside in a very liquid, very accessible bank account, which this current time frame doesn't earn too much, but that's not the primary point of that money. It's to make sure that you stay out of any bad debt and that you can sleep well at night knowing that you have, you know, a good foundation taken care of there. So once you've got that established, then you can start looking out at maybe investing the money for longer term growth. And I heard you say there that you spoke to a couple financial advisors and they wanted to sell you annuities. Well, so Ashley, those are not financial advisors. They are financial salespeople. They might call themselves financial advisors, but they're trying to sell you products. So that's unfortunate that you had that experience. What you should try to do if you want to work with a financial professional is get yourself aligned with a certified financial planner. And I'm going to give you a couple websites that you can go to search for certified financial planners in your particular area here. So the first one is called letsmakeaplan.org. That's letsmakeaplan.org. And that is the website, the consumer-facing website for the Certified Financial Planners Board of Standards. So anyone who is a certified, properly licensed certified financial planner typically has a listing on this website, letsmakeaplan.org. And so you could search within a radius of Chesapeake, you know, 20 miles, and you're going to go get a whole list of certified financial planners. And then, so that's like kind of step number one to get aligned with a competent, ethical financial advisor. The other thing you'd want to look to do is see how many of them work for an independent registered investment advisor. That's a legal designation, a technical term. That means that the firm that the advisor works for is regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. And as such, are the employees of that firm, the client-facing employees, are required to act as fiduciaries on behalf of their clients. A fiduciary is somebody who has to work in the best interest of someone else, not themselves. So these are typically not financial salespeople. These are true financial advisors. And you can tend to decipher that by looking at the firms that the clients work at and then usually looking, it will be somewhere on their website, I would say. And then the second website that I can point you to try to find somebody to help you out in the area here is the Financial Planning Association's national website, and their consumer-facing website is called plannersearch.org. So that's plannersearch.org, and you can do the same thing there. Okay. And so then, you know, if you're getting yourself aligned with a good, competent financial advisor, then you can talk through all the intricacies and nuances of how much money is this, what are your other priorities, what are some of your medium-term and long-term goals with money? I assume retirement is on the horizon. And that's where a financial advisor can come in and provide you with good, solid, objective advice geared for your best interests. All right. I said a lot there. Was that helpful?
Yes. You know, we've actually talked to a few, and like my mother, she has a wonderful financial planner. He is a fiduciary, but he wanted $10,000 to work with us. And is that normal?
Hmm.
Do you charge a fee to, I mean, he works with, you know, you have to have a certain amount, which, you know, we did, mm-hmm. or we do, but mm-hmm. we just felt like $10,000. Just to start, and then use the percentage after that. Just that just seemed really excessive.
Mm, yeah,
I didn't know if that was normal.
Well, not knowing the details, it would be hard for me to comment too accurately. But I will say it's very common in our industry to charge a percentage of the assets that get managed in conjunction with the financial advising. And typically, the percentage starts out around 1% per year on the assets that are managed, and then usually there might be price breaks the more assets that the advisor manages. So, like, say above $1 million, it might go down to 0.85%, and above $3 million, it goes down to 0.65%, like that. It's sort of like bulk buying. You get the more assets to manage, the cheaper it becomes. So that's a pretty common fee structure, or a flat fee is becoming more common, but taken together, I don't see that too often.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, I will check those websites and try to narrow it down then so that we can get some good advice and do the best thing with our money. So I appreciate it, sir. Thanks so much.
Okay, Ashley. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 627-7979. Frank in Newport News, if you can hang on there for a little bit, we're going to take a short break. We're going to be right back. Back after these messages. Get those calls in now, 627-7979. I'm certified financial planner Kevin Zivna. You're listening to Dollars and Common Sense on News Talk 790 WNIS. Welcome back to Dollars and Common Sense, your local source for objective, unbiased financial advice. I'm certified financial planner Kevin Zivna, president of Wealthway Financial Advisors, the premier financial planning firm in Hampton Roads, where we integrate expert investment management with customized ongoing financial planning advice to help our clients answer life's big financial questions and enhance their quality of life. For more information about us, you can look us up online at wealthwayadvisors.com. All right, got some callers on the line. We'll try to get to as many of those as we can tonight. Frank in Newport News, are you still there? Thanks for holding patiently.
I am still here. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Frank.
I've got a situation not too different from the previous caller, and with a bit of a windfall, a small windfall. And now what I have is some return on investment in myself with a small business that is now going to be returning some significant income. I have for some time been looking at building on a lot that we've owned for years up in the mountains as sort of a retirement place. And other people have looked at me and said, oh, well, you don't want to do that as a retirement thing. And I'm thinking, well, yes, I do. And so I guess I'm asking your comments on the relative value of the real estate, which is really going to be, so it's not investment real estate, it's I'm looking at a retirement place.
Yes. All right. So, Frank, why are people telling you that you don't want to do that?
I am not sure. Many of the people who have said that are frowning at the building costs, and yes, of course, the building costs up there are pretty high. It's a fancy place, high dollars per square foot to build. And so they're thinking other things, but I'm thinking I've got some retirement income, and I've got some retirement established mm-hmm. that'll provide income. Mm-hmm. And so these additional dollars, which I'm going to pay dearly with taxes because they are high income. But, you know, I think putting the money into the construction of a nice place up in the mountains is a good one. And so the people I'm talking to are not experts at all. They are the typical relatives that one talks to.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, first of all, Frank, it's your money. And you can do what your money what you want to do with it. And if you have a retirement goal to have a vacation house up in the mountains and you have the means to do it, you have the money, the income, by all means, you should do it. That's a big part of what we work with our clients on doing is trying to, it's not just about accumulating the most amount of money, right? Like most people don't really have the goal of save, and then die with a whole pile of money. You know, we have not figured out a way to figure out how we can take it with us to the great beyond. So once you get to a place of comfort, financial comfort and financial stability, and if you have the additional means and you want to have a vacation home in the mountains, then I say go for it. That's exactly what we try to work with our clients on, is find out what their passion is, what excites them, what makes them happy, and then use the money, responsibly, of course, but use the money to enhance their quality of life. So, for what it's worth, Frank, I think you should keep moving in that direction.
Okay, excellent. Glad to hear it, and I will smile wanly at those who have their doubts.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you specifically said it's not for investment purposes. It's for your personal enjoyment. You do with your money what you want to do that makes you happiest, Frank.
Yeah, okay. So I think you've confirmed what I suspected all along for years, but the relatives push hard.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's, kind of got their own opinion, and some have different agendas, but if it's your money, you do what makes you happy. And yes, are building costs inflated these days? Yes, but so is kind of a lot of other things. If you've worked hard and you've saved up money, or you come into a little bit of a windfall, then this is something you want to do, I would encourage it.
Great. All right. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Frank. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 627-7979. All right. Simona in Virginia Beach. Good evening. You're on Dollars and Common Sense.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. All right, Frank. Thanks for the call.
Simona, do us a favor and listen through the phone. You can talk back through the phone, and we'll take more calls at 627-7979. It's now 626. Hi, Simona. All right, I'm going to put Simona on hold, and we'll communicate with Simona in a second when she's listening through the phone.
All right, then we're going to jump out to Chesapeake and speak with Sheila. Good evening, Sheila. You're on Dollars and Common Sense. Yeah.
Good evening. Thanks so much. I have two quick questions. One is, we are doing well as far as our retirement savings and such, but my husband is retired from reserves, naval reserves, and so he doesn't get that until, I don't know, 59 or 60. We've looked on the website before in years past, and it would ask us questions about our previous car payments. I can't remember our previous car payments. We usually end up paying them off and such, so I didn't know. I guess we should just keep trying that, and we need to do it soon, right? Because I was assuming you would know about that. But also, another question on totally unrelated to that is, I've known since 1985 when I graduated high school that I was probably not going to get Social Security. Does that not make that the question moot about when you should take it? If they're going to send me something at 65 or so, should I not take that because they might not send me anything else at 67 or 69?
Okay. All right. We got a lot going on there, Sheila. Let me see if I can get this kind of straightened out. Let's start with maybe the second part of your question about Social Security. Are you asking when you are eligible for Social Security?
No, I know it's somewhere in the 60s there. I've just always assumed I wasn't going to get any. And as I'm about to be 57, I'm getting closer and saying, gosh, I might get a little bit before they go bankrupt. But, and then people will talk about when you should take it.
Okay.
And I thought, gosh, if they're going to send me anything, they might be bankrupt the next year. And so I should just take it as soon as they're giving.
Okay. Well, and did you work outside the home?
Yes.
Okay. So...
Not anymore, but yes.
Right. Okay. So first off, Social Security will not be bankrupt. Social Security, especially for people who are approaching the age of receiving a benefit from Social Security, they probably have nothing to worry about. That you're going to receive the benefits that you are promised throughout the rest of your life. What I do think is going to happen is subsequent generation, our grandkids and great-grandkids, are going to pay more into the Social Security system and get less of a benefit than their predecessors. But you can rest easy knowing that there's a Social Security benefit that will be paid out for you. Now, what would that specifically be? Well, it's either going to be based on your own work record, depending on how long you worked in the workforce and how much you made, or half of your spouse's work record. So those are kind of the two options that you would have. You can claim as early as 62, depending on the type of claim that you make, and you can delay as late as 70. I guess you could delay later, but it wouldn't help you out. And each year that you sort of delay, the benefit increases by about 8%. So was that a little bit helpful? Damien's giving me the high sign. Sheila, we're running out of time for the news. If you can hang on through the news break, I'll try to finish up the conversation with you. But if not, hopefully that was helpful. All right, 627-7979. I'm Certified Financial Planner Kevin Zibna. You're listening to Dollars and Common Sense on News Talk 790 WNIS. And welcome back to Dollars and Common Sense, your local source for objective, unbiased financial advice. I'm Certified Financial Planner Kevin Zibna, President of Wealthway Financial Advisors, the premier financial planning firm in Hampton Roads, where we integrate expert investment management with customized ongoing financial planning advice to help our clients answer life's big financial questions and enhance their quality of life. For more information about us, you can look us up online at wealthwayadvisors.com. Once there, you can request an information packet to find out what it's like to work with us or sign up for a free quarterly newsletter at wealthwayadvisors.com. Just navigate over to the Request a Consultation page of our newly designed website and put your name and address in the dialog boxes there. Select the appropriate drop-down menu, and we'll get that information out to you later on this week. And that is all we will use your name and address for, is just to send you the information that you request. Or if you have some nuanced questions, want to speak to a live human being, feel free to give us a call at the office, 456-2200. I want to remind everybody, our next live show will be in 2 weeks on Tuesday, April 23rd. But if you can't catch us live every second and fourth Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m., you can get this show as a podcast. Search for Dollars and Common Sense wherever you get your podcast. Download us, take us with you where you go, and listen at your convenience. And for those of you into social media, we have a presence on Facebook and LinkedIn. So search for Wealthway Financial Advisors. Hit the like or follow button, and then usually about once a week we put up a interesting and informative financial planning post to keep you engaged in the process. All right, 627-7979. Got a lot of callers on the line tonight. Simona, you hang in there. James and Gloucester, you hang in there. I'm going to see if Sheila is still with us. Sheila in Chesapeake, you still with us?
Yes, I am. So I was just skeptical, and that's more because of my political views. I just have always felt like I wasn't going to receive Social Security, but I'm sure it's helpful for people to hear that they would. So my last thing, and I'll leave you with it, and you can answer because there are probably other people wondering, your services, if somebody feels like they might fit into receiving your services. I wasn't sure if you might offer planning for the estate planning and things like that, and retirement planning and all that, but still allow me to do my investment planning because I enjoy that part. And so I wasn't sure if that was the case. So I'll let you go and answer that, because I bet there are others out there who would wonder the same.
Right. Okay. All right, Sheila, thanks for the call. And yes, I'll give that answer. Unfortunately, we do not. We do both together. We integrate our investment management process with ongoing analytical financial planning advice. And we have found through the years that this is where we can bring the greatest value to our clients, because we have a very well-defined investment management system, and process. And it's actually what I was going to come and talk about tonight. But since we have so many callers on the line, I think that's most important. So I'll save it for another show. But we integrate the investment management with ongoing analytical financial planning advice. And taken together, it's a very powerful combination. Investment management is important. It is the engine of your financial plan, but all you get out of investment management is just a rate of return. And the rate of return doesn't tell you, are you saving enough? Do you have enough? How much can you spend in retirement without fear of running out of money? What about the potential costs of long-term care? All those and more are financial planning questions. So investment management without financial planning is of limited value, we like to say, and financial planning is the next service that everyone needs that they don't know they need. Kind of everyone knows they should save and invest, but they don't know how much or how long it's going to take or how much they're going to have when they get there, or how much can they spend. That's where financial planning comes into play. So anyway, Sheila, thanks for the question. We do both investment management with financial planning. All right, Simona in Virginia Beach, let's try this again. You're on Dollars and Common Sense.
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good evening.
Yes, hi, good evening. So I'll just make it really simple. I'm 49 years old, just trying to find or figure out what's the best way to invest at my age so that it grows compound interest in the next 20 to 30 years. Mm-hmm. I do have a 403 with my current employer, but I want to kind of build something outside of that. So I do have a little bit of savings, and I like to use that in the most, I guess, lucrative way for the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why do you want to build some out of the 403B, Simona?
Well, because one, I don't know how much longer I'm going to stay with my current employer.
Mm-hmm.
And then two, I still want an extra source of cushion.
Okay. And then you said you're 49, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How long do you intend to stay in the workforce?
I'm honestly considering leave my current employer once I reach that. So I think we can retire with our full 403 in 22 years. So I have another 4 years to go with them.
Okay. And then do you think you just switch jobs or that you would semi-retire?
Self-employed. I'm going to be more of a... self-employed. It's going to be self-employing that I'm going to be generating my income from.
Okay. All right. I think I got it. Okay. Thank you. All right. So, yes, while there are great tax advantages to employer-sponsored retirement plans, the 401ks, the 403bs, the TSPs, the 457s, and so forth, there are great tax advantages of contributing to those. There are also restrictions. And you can't get the money out without penalty out of those plans, typically until you're age 59 and a half or older. And there could be other restrictions as well. So if you're thinking about making either a career shift or trying something different and you need access to liquid cash, capital, money, then you want to have some outside of the retirement plans because taking it out early would incur a penalty, and that's not very efficient. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. So, what you can do then, the options are pretty varied. You can open up what we call a brokerage account, a standard brokerage account at an online broker like Charles Schwab or Fidelity or Vanguard. Or you can open up an account directly with a mutual fund company, again, like a Vanguard or a T. Rowe Price or a Magellan or some of the other big name mutual fund companies. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact that you are doing something in 4 years where you might need to access the funds gives me a little bit of pause. Long-term investing... you know, is you we say is usually at least 5 years, probably closer to 10. Things can happen within a 4-year window that if you need that money, a certain amount of money, and it has the value of it has declined due to market short-term market performance, then you know that could curtail your plan. So you have to be kind of judicious about how you look to build up this pot of money. It wouldn't hurt to just go ahead and pile it into a bank account right now if the money is going to be used in the short to medium-ish term, which I would define as 2 to 4 years. So you know, you could put it in the bank account and nowadays get some short-term CDs that we're seeing yield at least 4%. We were seeing 5% there for a little bit. But 6 and 12 month CDs at 4 or 5%, or maybe it's a high yield savings account or a money market savings account or some other higher earning bank product than just your basic savings and checking. Now, those other accounts usually come with a little bit of restriction themselves, but no penalties or excessive taxes for withdrawals. So was that helpful, or can you tell me a little bit more?
No, yeah, that was actually helpful. I started looking into a couple of the CD or high yield savings accounts. It was still a little perplexed for me though, because they just look foreign and I don't really understand it. But yeah, you're kind of pointing me in the same direction that I had already indicated prior to calling you. So I guess I'm on the right track. We're going that way, either the CD or the high yield savings account.
Yeah, if you did not have a need for this money for, like I said, at least 5 years and probably closer to 10, then I would say probably investments would be a better course of action. But once we start getting near term to the use of significant funds, that's when we like to move it to the bank accounts.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you so much. Yes, that was very helpful.
All right, Simona, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 627-7979. How about James in Gloucester? Do we still have you, James?
Yes, sir, you do.
All right, you're on Dollars and Common Sense. How can I help you?
I was wondering, I'm 52, single, never married, no kids, debt-free, been saving and working hard my entire life, invested early. When is enough enough? When do I know when I can stop or want to stop? I'm ready to stop.
Right.
But how do you know, or what do you plan on and figure to know when to call it quits?
Yeah, right. How much is enough? Eternal age-old question, yeah. Right? So,
yes,
so here's some thoughts for you. There is a way you can sort of measure if you have enough. Now, what does enough mean? Well, that is a very personal question that can differ for every single person on the planet. You know, some people are satisfied with a very modest lifestyle, simple, modest lifestyle. Other people can have mansions and yachts and fancy cars, and they're still never satisfied. It's never enough. So those are psychological issues, which are real and important, and we try to balance those. But there's also professional judgment that we can apply to your individual situation. So, for example, the baseline we usually start at is, what is your current lifestyle? How are you living today? And are you happy with your current lifestyle? And by lifestyle, I mean, how much are you spending on a monthly/annual basis? That is your lifestyle. So let's just say it was, I don't know, $10,000 a month on average throughout the course of the year. Then if that's how much you are spending today, are you happy with it? Or are there other things out there that you want to try, do, buy, purchase? Or do you have what you feel is the lifestyle that makes you happy? So let me ask you that, James. Where are you on that spectrum?
I work 7 days a week, and the only money I spend on myself is what I have to spend, food, groceries. Mm. That's pretty much it. I don't have zero life a zero social life. It's pretty much just me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, just a bare minimum, you know. I don't go out and do anything, spend no money on anything.
Yeah. So, but are you satisfied with that? Or is there more things that you'd like to do if you had more money?
Oh, yeah. It's not the money, it's the time. Like, mm-hmm. if I was retired, then I could, you know, do whatever I wanted from there on out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just worried that I've always worked and saved. I don't know how I would act if I retired and no money was coming in and I was just spending.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can I ask a question? James, what are you going to do in retirement? What does that picture look like for you? What are you going to wake up and do every day that keeps you busy? Because you're obviously a busy guy who has a busy mind. What are you going to do?
I love old cars, and I want to restore my old cars.
All right. Mm-hmm. Good answer.
And that's about it.
Okay. For fun, or is that a hobby, or is that a side business?
Just for fun, okay. As a hobby.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Damien brought up a really good point that we counsel all our clients on, and that is you can't just have something to retire from. You have to have something to retire to. You have to stay active mentally, physically, socially. Otherwise, the brain, the body begins to atrophy and slowly whittle itself away. So you can't just have something to retire from. You got to have something to retire to. Now, let's say you're covered there. Then how much do you need to do that? Well, do you have access to where you work currently? Will you receive a pension?
I'm self-employed.
Self-employed. Okay, so no pension for yourself, I take it.
IRAs and that sort of stuff and investments.
Right. Okay. So no pension, no guaranteed income stream, but you have investments through either IRAs or brokerage accounts. So what we're looking to do then to determine if you have enough is, does the nucleus of your savings, the investments, is it large enough to be able to duplicate your existing spending pattern for the rest of your life?
And so when you say rest of your life, I want to die broke. what age should I, when I'm 80 years old, you know, I'm not going to be working on cars or doing anything, you know, when money's not going to be that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong, but I don't want to end up in no old folks home and be treated like them people are and then pay the rest of the money I have for that each month. I would rather, I hate to say it, but when that time comes, either go there broke or hopefully not end up having to go there.
Right. Yes. So we've heard that comment before. I want my last check to bounce. You know, I want to spend my last dollar on my last day. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's one thing to say, it's another thing to do. Now there are ways that we can mathematically determine a spending pattern, a spend down plan, essentially, from your investments that would gradually whittle away at the principal. But what we don't know, and I don't think you know either, is when our final day on this planet is going to be. And that's a big factor in the calculation in determining how much you can spend to spend down that money. And I hear what you're saying about long-term care, but James, we work with a fair number of people in that demographic, and usually, and it is not untypical where we hear people 50s and the 60s say, I'm never going to an old age home or assisted living or anything like that. I'm never going to go to those types of places. Well, then you get to be 80 and 85 and 90, and guess what? And you kind of do want to do that. And sometimes that really is helpful For people, especially like yourself, who are alone, you have a built-in community, you have a built-in network, you have typically professionals looking after you to make sure you're eating properly, that you're taking medications if you're doing that at that stage of life. So the options are becoming better and better in the aging communities, I guess I would say, than they were one or two generations ago. So, I don't know. Was that...
That could be. I could disagree with you on that, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, well...
But I guess what I'm saying, like, it's not going to matter a whole lot once you get to that age, or I guess, you know, if you're in bad shape and don't know what's going on, then it really... To me, it doesn't matter.
Well, not everyone who goes to assisting living facilities is in that state. Sure, that can happen to all of us as we naturally age, that we start to lose our faculties somewhat. But not everyone in assisted living is in that condition. There's plenty of people in there. We have clients that are in their 80s and some in their 90s, live very vibrant, healthy, active lifestyles through an assisted living facility. So I guess I just throw that out there to give you some food for thought.
Oh, no, I totally understand it. Yeah, and you're right. I just prepare for the worst, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess to say, like, how do you judge at what age that money's going to be important to you at if you're not worried about that so much? Like, I know that's a deep question, but...
Say that again, James. What are you asking?
Like when you retire and you have plans and things that you want to do, at some point in time, you know, some of us aren't as lucky as others. And, you know, say if I make it to 75 years old and after that I can't work on my cars and do all that sort of stuff,
mm-hmm.
You know, What good is having a whole bunch of extra money going to do for you?
Right. No.
Other than possibly paying people to take care of you, I guess.
Yeah, well, right. And I kind of agree with you. Right. The point of money, like I said to one of the callers earlier in the show, is to enhance your quality of life. It's not just to die with a big pile of money that you didn't get to enjoy. So it's very much a balancing act. But the reality is... There is one potential last big expense that we all may face. And well, you were kind of looking at it, it sounds like, as kind of like wasted money if you pay it towards assisted living. I can tell you by working with people in their 80s and 90s that they don't feel that it's wasted, that they're maximizing their quality of life. It's just a different style of life than, you know, they enjoyed 20 years previously.
No, oh yeah, I understand. Yeah, God bless them. That I hope that happens to me.
Right. All right, James, unfortunately, I'm sorry I got to cut you off. Damien's giving me the high sign again. We're going to have to run here. This has been a great conversation. Maybe you can give me a call back in 2 weeks when we're here on Tuesday, April 23rd at 6 p.m. again. Until then, I'm certified financial planner Kevin Zivna. You've been listening to Dollars and Common Sense on News Talk 790 WNIS.
The preceding program was sponsored and paid for by Wealthway Financial Advisors. We are solely responsible